Joshua chapter 6. We're looking at the destruction of Jericho. Oh, Jericho, 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 Jericho. So does that mean I have to go in my Bible and cross out all the J's and put Y's in there?
Well, after you do yours, do mine's after that.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we welcome you here again to be the guest of honor in our midst, Lord. We're looking forward to just being able to read your word, study it, learn more about you, learn about all that you have for us. And Lord, even as we look at this study, Lord, the victory that is ours in Christ. So Lord, be the teacher, lead us and guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Many, many, many believers, including me, including myself, coming from the world, we come from the world with a lot of sin, a lot of baggage, and a lot of strongholds. And I know I've talked about strongholds in the past. It's that where you have allowed the enemy or those little demons to tempt you and get you to fall into sin, and when they get you, they set up strongholds in your life, which even after you become a Christian, sometimes it's just hard to break those bad habits and those addictions. And so when we look at this chapter, looking at Jericho, Jericho, of course, is a walled city, and it represents a stronghold. And so we get to look at how the Israelites, through this account, this historical account, how they were able to be victorious over the Jerichonites, if I can use that, the Jerichonites. So in verse 1, now Jericho, please don't correct me, was surely shut up because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. So if you remember, again, we pull in from the weeks before, the Israelites, they crossed the Jordan River, and all of the cities around the Jordan, they heard and they saw what was going on, and so they're afraid. And so what this city have done, they closed their gates, and they say, you know what, we're not going to surrender. Now, that's very interesting. You see, when Satan gets a foothold in your life, he's not going to come out very easily, is he? He's not going to surrender. He's not going to make a truce with you. He's not going to say, let's negotiate here. No, instead, he hunkers down and he makes it very, very difficult for you to get him out of your life. So, again, Satan traps us. He won't set us free. And then, check this out, in again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, speaking of strongholds again, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You see, we have some weapons that we can tear down these strongholds that the enemy will build in our lives. We don't have to live with them. We can tear them down. Now, if we want to be victorious in our life, we must, I believe, first recognize this true statement that is not a fleshly battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. You cannot fight the spirit in the flesh. And that's why I'm a firm believer that these 12-step programs and Alcohol Anonymous and self-help books and all these different type of programs, they don't work. You know what they do? They just get you to cope with the problem. It's kind of like if you get hurt, you're in pain, and so what do? You pop a pill to deal with the pain, but it didn't really solve the problem. You're covering, you're masking the problem. And that's what a lot of times these programs, even in the church, does. They get you to cope. In other words, they get you to live with the problem. You're tolerating it. So you have a problem and you're just, you know, kind of focusing somewhere else so that the problem you're not focusing on. You're coping it. You're still living with it. The Lord came to the cross to make us victorious, to destroy strongholds, to get rid of the problems. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:37 that we are more than conquerors. We don't cope, we conquer. Matter of fact, he said we are more. And so we need to keep that in mind. Again, if you are struggling with some kind of a sin, some kind of addiction, you don't have to cope and live with it. You can overcome. And so in verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given you Jericho into your hands, its kings and the mighty men of valor." I love this verse. It's God simply says, "I've given it to you. I've given you the victory." God didn't say, "I'm going to allow Jericho to live alongside of you. Your enemy is not going to live with you. You're not going to just cope with them." No, they got to go. They have to go. They have to be uprooted and thrown out. But notice the Lord spoke it as if it were. He said, "I have given you Jericho." He speaks it as if it's already done, which in reality it is. If the Lord says it, it's done. You see, the people of Israel, their victory, even though it was already done, was ahead of them. They're basically marching to their victory. Our victory is already won. We're marching from our victory. It's what Jesus did on Calvary, what he did on the cross. You see, I believe a lot of believers are walking in bondage because they fail to recognize simply that the victory has already been won. How many war stories have you heard that the war have been declared over and you still have people in the battle? They don't realize that the war is over. You and I, the war is over. The enemy have been defeated and we're still going back to sin saying, "No, I can't give this up." So the Lord will give them instruction how to tear down the walls of Jericho. Look with me, verse 3. "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. The priest shall blow the trumpet. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." So, two things from reading this section of scripture, two things that I have observed about tearing down the walls of Jericho. Notice, first of all, that you will not be victorious by following the law. Now you say, "Alan, where did that come from? I don't see anything about law." Well, everything in what we just read was a violation of the law. In other words, when you look at what he said, march around the city for 7 days. Well, isn't there a law that says you must rest on the Sabbath day? He said, bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns. When you look at the scripture again in Numbers 10, it says that when they go to battle, they are to use silver trumpets. So again, another violation of the law. He said, the priest shall bear the ark in going into this battle. Again, the law says that the priests are exempt from battle. But we also see there that he says that the ark will go into battle. Again, the law says the ark shall not go into battle. The one time after this that they took the ark into battle, they lost it. So we see here a whole list of violations of the law. Why is the Lord having them violate the very law that he has established? Well, if you remember just in Joshua chapter 5, what was the last thing we read there? That the commander of the Lord's army came. In other words, when Jesus showed up on the scene, understand this, Jesus, he is the author of the law. He is above the law. And when you have the author of the law with you, well, you see, you don't really need the law because you are with the law. Let me give an example. I might be losing you. There's a man. He's driving down the street like a madman. He passes a light. Police officer pulls behind him, pulls him over, and he says, "Sir, where are you going so fast?" The man points to his wife and says, "She's in labor." "Oh, if that's the case, follow me." And now the lights are on, and now he is passing, and he's going through every light. He's going above the speed limit. Why? Well, the law, he is with the law, you see. He is above the law. Because why? Well, Jesus says the law was made for man, not man for the law. Speaking of the Sabbath. But you see, since Jesus, the commander of the Lord's army, was there, he's saying, listen, the law is not going to make you win this war. I am the one that's going to fight this battle. And secondly, I believe it will not depend on human efforts. To tear down these walls, it will not depend on human efforts. Notice what he said. Now, march around the city for 7 days. In my sense, if I can say this, if I can be honest, that makes no sense. You're going to fight this battle. You're going to tear down your enemy by marching around the city. You see, when God gives instructions, sometimes it makes no sense, you see. For them to march around the city, it would be kind of like me saying, hey, do you have a helmet? You know, one of those bike helmets? You need to wear it from now on because you never know when the rapture will happen, and if you go through the roof, it's going to hit your head, you know. And so everyone will look at you, and when they say, why do you have the helmet on? Well, the rapture can happen, and I don't want to hit my head. They're going to say, yeah, I think he's lost it. It's crazy. And that is what was going on with the Israelites. The people from Jericho probably are looking at it. Yeah, they lost it, man. They're just going around in circles. They're going to fight us? Ha! They're going to laugh. The Lord does things that is above us that we don't often understand when he does. In this section of scripture, we saw he had seven priests, seven trumpets, 7 days, marching seven times. What does the number seven represent? Completion. And so the Lord, I believe, even just symbolically saying, hey, I'm going to give you complete victory. Do you trust me? Even if it seems a little crazy, do you trust me? So when you think about it, for some of us, we have strongholds in our lives. And we tend to go around our sin several times. And when we keep going and say, you know what, hopefully this time I will overcome. And then we fall back into it. And there we are going around our sin, maybe next time. And we feel like it's hopeless, just keep going around and around. But understand, the Lord wants to give us complete victory. Because in your going around, well, let's just look again at verse 6 this time. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. I want you to notice here, as the Lord gave the commandment to Joshua, what did Joshua do immediately? Well, he obeyed immediately. And that is very important if we are going to be victorious in our lives in those areas concerning sin. We have to exercise immediate obedience, because if we delay, we will give way and space for reason and doubt. You ever notice that whenever you say, oh, I'm going to do something, and then you delay, and it's like, well, maybe it makes, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. Maybe that's not what the Lord is really telling me to do, you know? Listen, the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. If the Lord tells us to do something, just do it. What the Lord calls us to do, listen, it will not make logical sense. I remember when I was challenged on a Saturday night. Alan, the question was asked, when are you going to start teaching? And my response, tomorrow morning. Just come over, we're going to start tomorrow morning. You see, it didn't make any logical sense because I never preached before. I didn't have a message for Sunday morning, and it was probably 11 o'clock at night, so I know I wasn't going to study, but tomorrow morning I'll start a study. It didn't make any sense, but as I opened my Bible in the morning, you know what? The Lord gave me the study to start with. You see, the Lord will call us to do something, and it's not a matter of questioning, it's a matter of just being obedient, and He will give you the victory that you need. So, again, when we delay our obedience, I believe we delay our victory. Verse 8, so it was when Jericho has spoken to the, when Joshua has spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpet. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So he had them, the ark of the Lord, circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So we see here in this section, we have the soldiers marching in front. We have the priests behind with the horns. And of course, the ones with the ark following, and then followed by the soldiers again. But notice the instructions of the Lord saying, no noise, no shouts. God wanted their march to be consistent every day. Just like we are to be devoted to the Word every day, right? He wants us to be consistent in what He tells us to do. But I believe for the Israelites, the reason He wanted the consistency is because, well, the people of Jericho, He was trying to do something to them, which I will get into. So He said, no noise, no shouts, and you know, basically, don't talk to each other. You see, when God puts something in your hearts, and I'm speaking about myself, sometimes I get so excited, I just want to tell somebody, let me tell you what God is doing, and let me tell you, you know what happens when you do that? The first thing people say, he said what? Are you sure God spoke to you? Yeah, you heard His voice? Now, that don't sound like God. That might be your stomach growling, but I don't know. And what do they start doing? They start giving you doubt. You see, the Israelites were marching around Jericho, and it made no sense. And if they started to talk to each other, what do you think? Do you think Joshua is leading us on? I don't know. And now you see the murmuring will start. And the very thing that God told them to do is easy for them to turn away. So God said, hey, listen to the instructions. Be quiet. Don't say a word. See, we have to be very careful what we share, especially when it comes to the Lord, when He tells us to do certain things. So why would God have them march around Jericho seven times? Ever wonder that question? I believe it was for both the Israelites, and I believe it was also both for the the what you call those people, Jerichonites. It was for both sides, and I'll tell you why. Well, you see, God needed to accomplish two things in two different people. First of all, he needed to strip the Jericho people from their armor. Did you see that? March around the city and they will be stripped of their armor. Did you see that? You say, no. Well, I'll have to explain after I give you the second reason why. The second reason why he needed to strip the Israelites from their pride. You see, when we're going into, well, I'm going to overcome this sin. I am. You see, you won't be able to do a thing. Without Christ, you can do nothing. But let's go back to that first point that God wanted to strip Jericho from their armor. Let me show you how important this is that God do it this way. How many of you have seen the dancing gold pond guys? I don't know what to call them. You ever seen the guys on the side of the street and they're dancing and doing those moves, you know? You know what I'm talking about. By the way, they're hiring if anyone wants a job. But they're dancing, and what was your first reaction when you saw them? Oh, look at that. That's just so funny. You're having a blast, and you're dying laughing. Every time you pass by, you're laughing at them. But then you go by the second time, and you're like, yeah, they're still there. That's just so silly. Then the third time, yeah, they're there. The fourth time, fifth time, is almost as if they're not even there anymore. You ever notice that's what you do? And I'm sure this is what's going on with the people of Jericho. The first time, oh, the Israelites, they're here to fight. They're here to battle. Come on, everyone, get your armor, get your sword. Well, gosh, they're not making any moves. They're just marching around the building. Oh, the second time? Well, yeah, they're here again. No, they're still just marching. The third time? Well, yeah, there they are. They're still there. I don't know what they're doing. The fourth time? Well, I'll just sit here and watch some TV. I'm not going to go out there. Yeah, I know they're out there. The fifth time? The sixth time? See, by the seventh time, they're not even, well, I'm not even going to pay attention to them. See, they're not picking up their armors. You see, when that trumpet blows and the shout is shout, when they make that shout and the walls come down, if the people on the inside still have their swords in their hands, guess what? When the Israelites go in, there's still going to be a battle. But God needed to strip them from their swords. Secondly, again, I believe God also needed to strip the Israelite from their pride. You see, Israelite...